Begin the Kardav Zeft Ksubas Dav Ayin Dal. Begin 7 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Dav. That is, we had a Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, which held the relevance to how we interpreted our Mishnah, if it was one case or two different cases, where Rav and Shmuel discussed the case of where Kidshal Tanai, a man was Bekadosh a woman on condition that she doesn't have a Neder, and Uknas the Stam. But then when they consummated the relationship, he didn't say anything. So Rav said that she needs a get, and Shmuel said she doesn't need a get. So Abaye explained the machloikis as the Gemara brought another context where they have that same machloikis regarding where if a man would make his bia biznus, where although definitely a person would want his tanai to be fulfilled, and that's the position of Shmuel, but Rav holds that a man would also prefer that his bia not be a biznus. And therefore, although he was mekadosh al tanai, but when he finally ends up doing bia, when he's kanas astam, since he didn't say anything, it's obvious because obviously he didn't want his bia to be his nus, and therefore it was for a new kedushin, and that's what he needs to get. But Shmuel said no, a person would be willing to have his bia's nus as long as his original condition that he had made will be fulfilled. That was Abaye's interpretation. Then Rabbah came and gave a different interpretation, and he said that no, everybody, even Rav, would agree that if you kidshal tanai and kanas astam, definitely when you're doing bia, it's based on your condition that you made when you were doing kedushin, and therefore everyone would agree that you don't need to have a get. There's no kedushin. However, the machlokes that they were arguing about was what's called isha achas ke'en shtei nashim. It's the same woman, but she's like two women. Because it's talking about kidshal tanai, then during the engagement they got divorced, where in biblical times kedushin was required a get, and then after that, he remarried her, and then he didn't say anything. That, Rav says, she's like a new woman, because now for this new time around, he didn't say anything, therefore you require a get. But according to Shmuel, still, since the first time he revealed he doesn't want to have a nether, even though now this time he didn't say anything, if he finds that she has a nether, then, again, he does not require a get. So the Gemara says, Itmanami, similarly we learned, like Rav's interpretation, that he said that if it's an error that she misled him in the same woman, that everyone is going to agree that she does not need to require get, we find the same thing that Amr of Acha bar Yaakov, Amr of Yechanon, that he said in the name of Yechanon, the same idea, that if I'm a kadosh al tanai ubal, if someone gets engaged on condition that she doesn't have any nidarm, and then ubal, then he does bia, everybody agrees, and that's the primary point, which is what Rabbah's idea is, where Rabbi Yochanan is saying the same thing, that everyone's going to agree, even like we Abaye had quoted the name of Rav, that no, you're not going to require a get. Now, Esver of Acha Bereder of Ika, Bar Achse, who was his nephew, he asked, and he said that, but we have a brayse that says, Chalitza Mutaz Kashera. If there was a mistake and there was erroneous Chalitza done, it's still going to be kosher. Now, Ezohi Chalitza Mutaz, so what is considered an erroneous, a misled Chalitza that the Yavam did to the Yavama, what is that case that it would still be Kasha? So Rav Machlekes, Amar Shlaka, she said, Kol Sha'oimer Loi Chalitzla, wherever they tell him, look, do Chalitzdar, Ubekach Atakainza, they were really fooling him there. They said, oh, don't worry, do this thing with the procedure with the shoe, and that way she'll become your wife, which obviously that's not the case. Chalitza is the way that she'll never be his wife. So Rish Lakish says, that's okay too. That'll be kosher, even though he was totally misled. Now, that Amr B'yechanei says, how can you say that Rish Lakish? Ani Shaina, I learned that the halacha is, Bein Shneskaven Hu, whether the Yavim had intention when he was doing this procedure with the shoe, that this should be for Chalitza, Bavaloi Neskaven Hi, but she didn't have that in mind. She had no clue that this is the procedure of Chalitza. Or Bein Shneskaven Hi, Bavaloi Neskaven Hu, or whether she had in mind this should be for Chalitza. But he didn't know that Chalitza, Pesula, that's invalid Chalitza. At Shneskaven, there's statement to both of them, the Yavim and the Yavama, have in mind by the procedure of the shoe that this is the procedure, how they're not going to be able to, this is severing their relationship. That Amr Chalitza Sharon, you're saying that by telling him this is the way you're going to marry her, which is obviously the exact opposite, that's a valid Chalitza. Obviously, he's not having kavana for it to be valid Chalitza. He thinks actually he's marrying her this way. So how can you say that's what the Brisa means? Chalitza Mitzvah Mikshera. Elam Abirichan, rather Abirichan says, and this is the question he's asking him, because Rav Acha bar Yaakov has said this halacha name of Rav Yechanan, and that his nephew is asking him, but you see from Yechanan's own interpretation that it seemingly doesn't hold like this, because Rav Yechanan says, rather the interpretation of Chalitza Mutas is, Kol Sha'oimer Loi Cholitzla, if they tell him, look, do Chalitza for her, Amana Shatitin Lucha Masayim Zuz, on the condition that she gives you 200 Zuz, I mean they're bribing him. So he's obviously intending for it to do Chalitza, But there is a condition over here, contingent on that, she gives you 200 zuz. Now, on that is what the Brice is saying, that even if she doesn't end up giving him the 200 zuz, it's going to be valid, and it's a good chalitza, and she can marry someone else. Now, Amma, what we see from Rabbi Yochanan is that Kivan de Oved Maisa, since ultimately he did the act of chalitza without saying anything at the time that he did the chalitza, so obviously, achuli achal tanoi, so since at the time he did it, he obviously was forgiving on the condition that he had made when he had decided before coming into Bezin that he's going to do the chalitza if he gets the cash and he's not getting it, because when he does it, since he didn't reiterate it, obviously he's meichel on that. So if so, hachanami, then regarding the same halacha that you're quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that where he was mekadesh al tanai, but kivin de bol, since when he did the bia, it was stam, he didn't say that it has to be that she doesn't have it in the darim. So therefore, it would seem that Rabbi Yochanan would hold the same idea, that obviously he's forgiving on that original, on the original condition, not him in neder, and therefore there shouldn't be a problem of kidsh al tanai that ain't a tzricha mena get. You should need a get because obviously the kedushin is being validated through the bia that he's doing. Because we see Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing aloha by chalitza, where it is a valid chalitza. Here the bia should also be a valid bia. So Amalei, so his uncle told him, Bar Be Rav, yeshiva man, shapa kamrit, are you really saying good? In other words, the reason over here, by Rabbi Yochanan, by chalitza, is not because Rabbi Yochanan holds that when he does the act of chalitza and he doesn't say anything, that he's forgiving, he gave up on the condition. Rather, the halacha is like that because halachically, he might not know this. And he might still insist on the condition. He didn't forgive on it. As we see in our context, that I was saying in the Rabbi Yochanan, HaMekadosh al-Tanai Bol, of course he holds on to his Tanai. The only thing is the reason why we don't care about it is because halachically, it's not in the halachas valid as a condition. Because Mechti, let's see. Kol Tanai, all the halachas of contingencies, of conditions. Mecha Gamrina, where do we know there's such a concept in halacha that a condition could work? Mitnai b'nei God, b'nei Reuben, there's a biblical source for this. By the conditions that Moshe Rabbeinu made with the tribe of God and Reuben, they wanted their part of Eretz Yisrael on Transjordan. Me'evar Yarden. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, look, im yavru, if you go with the Jewish people to fight the war, then menesatim, then you'll get your part in Transjordan. And he said, v'im lo yavru, if you don't go, well then menechse b'sechem, then you're going to have to take a portion in Eretz Yisrael primary, and you're not going to be able to get your part. Now, to know the efshel l'kiyume, so what you see from there is only a condition that can be actualized. In other words, the fulfillment of the tanai, which was, yes, on the condition that you fight, then you'll get what? Then you'll get your part in Eretz Yisrael, which was v'nasatim, you'll get Transjordan. That's only if the condition could be fulfilled ayidei shliach, through a messenger, kihasim, like that incident b'nei Gad b'nei Reuben, because Moshe Rabbeinu, who made the condition with them, he didn't fulfill his end of the deal. He commanded Yeshua to give them their part in Eretz Yisrael in Transjordan. He was the shliach of Moshe, he was the messenger, and he gave it to them. Then have a tanoi tanah. So since that's the biblical source and this is the halachic framework for tanai, it's only if the fulfillment of what you're making a condition in can be done through a messenger, through a third party. Then you can make conditions in such a premise, in such a halacha. However, but if you have an area of halacha which cannot be fulfilled through a messenger like that story was in B'nei Gad B'nei Reuben, that doesn't qualify for the halachas of tanai, and chalitza cannot be done through a shliach, through somebody else. In other words, someone cannot tell a third party, look, if this woman, the Yavama, gives you 200 zuz, do chalitza tar. You can't, because he has to do chalitza. And therefore, although there were conditions attached to the chalitza, to be mevatel the chalitza, it's nullified, that's not a valid halacha of tanai. Because tanai has to be that the thing that you're making the condition in could be done through someone else, like was by B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven, where Yeshua gave them the land of Eretz Yisrael, of the Transjordan. And since their chalitza cannot be done through someone else, the tanai has no bearing whatsoever. And since he was mechavim for chalitza, as Rabbi Yochanan wanted, and although tanai was done, and he's still holding on to the tanai, like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is explaining, like we find by Kidsh al Tanai Bol, that she will not need a get, because he's still holding on to that. But that's different than the case of a chalitza. But the Gemara asks right away. But v'abiyam, what do you mean? The case you're talking about, when he does bia, l'shem kedushin, where same thing by bia. You can't have someone else do Bia for Kedushin purposes, and yet V'kohava Tanai, and that will be a Tanai. In other words, as you learned on the previous daf, where someone, we brought a brayse that someone says, Harina by Aleich Amanas, that I'm going to do Bia with you. In other words, I'm going to be Mekadosh to you through this Bia, if my father wants. And the other brayse brought, that is a valid Tanai. So, but that's the question is that you just described that in the halachas of Tanai only work if it can be done through a third party, and no one else can get engaged to a woman by having another man do be with her. So how can you explain that the case that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was explaining was talking about a different halacha? But on that, he said the chalitza, so there he said that since he's holding on to his Tanai, so it's not going to be a kedushin, he's not going to require a get. But he said, so why b'chalitza? He's not moichel on the tnai. So he said, you're right, because chalitza is something that cannot be done by through third party, so mela, the kedushin is not valid. Now, but the Gemara is asking, but we find by bia, where that's something that we said that halachas of tnai do apply, and that cannot be done through a third party. So the Gemara answers, hasam mishum de iskesh havayis ladad. You're right, that's a good question. But the reason why that's different is because there's three different ways to do kedushin, and they're all compared in the pasuk of v'hayslish achar, which we learn out the source of Havaya, of Kedushin, from that pasuk. So therefore, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, money, a document, and cohabitation, are all learned out from the same source. And therefore we say, just like Tanai helps by a Kedushin of Kesef or of Shtar, because those are things could be done through a third party. You could have a messenger give her the ring or give her a document. So that's why it also helps by Bia. But you're right, Bia is something that cannot be done through a third party, but we know it from comparing it to the other two. Whereas Chalitza, where that doesn't have any source of comparing it to something else, and since it cannot be done through a third party, that's why the Tanai doesn't help, but not because he's Meichel on the Tanai at a later point in time. So therefore, when you're Mekadosh al Tanai, Ubal, you're doing the Bia, I'll shame the original Kedushin, and therefore you find that she has a neder. Rabbi Yechon holds, again, like Rabba held, that everyone will agree that you don't need to have a get, and there's no Kedushin. Now the Gemara brings, according to the way Taisus gives the interpretation of this Gemara, a third interpretation of the Machlekes Rav Shmuel. Again, we had so far Abai's interpretation, we had Rabba's, and now Omer Rav Ula Bar Abba, Omer Ula, Omer Rebbe Lazar. The Gemara brings Rebbe Lazar's interpretation. Hamakadish b'milva. He says the following halach. He says that if a person makes a kedushin with a loan, well, how do you make a kedushin with a loan? That is, if a man had loaned a woman a certain amount of money, then he says, look, you owe me this money, I will clear the debt, and with that money that I'm giving you, that I'm not going to collect from you, then you'll be mekudesh to me with that money. So the Gemara Masechet Kedushin, Daf Vav Beis, says that that's not a valid kedushin. The reason being is because for the moment that he loans her the money, a money loan is used to use. And therefore it's her money. It's not his anymore, even if it's still extant. And therefore right now in the time of kedushin, when he's forgiving the loan, he's not really giving her anything because she already had that. And therefore that's not a valid kedushin. So if a man was Mekadosh a woman with a milva, which is not valid, and then Ubal, and then he does Bia, or Al Tanai, which we said also, if the Tanai is not fulfilled, that's not a valid Kedushin, and then Ubal, and then does Bia, or a third case, the Pachas B'Shove Pruta, which again is also not a valid Kedushin, and then Ubal, then he does Bia. So Devei HaKoil, everyone agrees, Tzricha Menaget, that even Rav and Shmuel, everyone in Rav and Shmuel would hold that she does need a get. And even though she fooled him in the condition, the reason being is because a person would not make biasnos, which is like Abaye had explained in Rav, and actually Rav had said that everyone agrees that people would make their bias into biasnos. And here Rebbe Lazar says exactly the opposite in that context. And that is Rebbe Lazar says that everyone agrees that even Shmuel would hold that a person would not make it be a biasnos. And therefore, everyone hold that you would need a get. And as Taisa explains, that the machlik is that Rav Shmuel is only if kansa v'leibol, if he was kitchal tanai, and then kinsa stam, and there wasn't any bia, that Rav would hold, once you did kinsa stam, that you were moichel on the tanai, whereas Shmuel would hold that you weren't. But again, if you were bala, according to everybody, you would need a get. That's an interpretation of Rebbe Lazar. Amr Rav Yisrael Bar Abba, Amr Rav Menachem, Amr Rav Ami. He says, HaMakadosh B'Pachas Meshav B'Pruto Bal. He picks out one of those three cases, and he says that if a person was Makadosh a woman with less than a Shav B'Pruto, then he had Bia. So then he agrees that Tzricha Men a Get, that then you would require a Get. Now, what we see that Rav Ami is arguing Rav Lazar, and he says that yes, if you're Mekadesh with less than Shabbat Pruta, then you have Bia, then you're going to require a get. But he doesn't mention the other two cases, that if a person is Mekadesh with a loan or on condition, which is not fulfilled, and then he does Bia, she's not going to require a get. What's the reason for that? So the Gemara explains, because Baha Hu Deloi Toi, that is, no one makes a mistake to think that less than the Shabbat Pruta, that it's going to be a Kedushin. Meaning everyone knows somewhat that you can't, it's not really a valid Kedushin. And therefore, if you're having Bia after that, obviously you're concluding and you're having intention that that Bia should be Kedushin. Avbahanach Toi, the reason why he argues on those other two cases in Rabbi Elazar is because a person could think that she knows, obviously, that I don't want a woman to have a neder. And if she's getting married to me, obviously she doesn't have any nedarim. So when he does the Bia, it's with the intention of the original Kedushin that he does, and not that he's doing a new Bia to be L'shem Kedushin, which was how Abaye had explained Shmuel. So too, by a Milva, not everyone's so proficient in the halachas of Kedushin to know that forgiving alone, what I have to give her something, what I can't just forgive on it, they don't know that, and therefore, since that could be an error, it could be that when he's doing the Bia, it's not for a new Kedushin. That's why he argues on those two cases, but he agrees to him on the halacha of Pachas Meshavah Pruta, which again, the primary principle of Rabbi Elazar is that if a person would not, if he knows it's not valid, he's not going to want to make his Kedushin L'shem Iznus. Now, Amrav Kahanresh made the Ula. He said, HaMekadosh al Tanai Ubal, if someone does a Kedushin on a condition which is not fulfilled, and then he does Bia. So again, as we said, Tzricha Min Aget, that then he's going to require a get. Now, Zeho Yemais, actually this was an incident that happened. And the sages, although they maybe wanted her not to be a divorcee, because then you become forbidden to Kahanam, whatever it is, they weren't able to do it without a get, and that is because, as we said, that a person does not want to make his Bia his Bia's Nus, so although there was a condition not to have a neder, and then he did Bia, that Bia was already L'shem Kedushin, and that's why she required a get. Now that the Gemara explains that Lafukim Haitana, this opinion that says that a man, according to everybody, Rabbi Elazar holds, even according to Shmuel, would not, which again the opposite of Rabba, would not want to have his bia's nus, is not like the following Tana. Dam Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel Meshmuel Rabbi Shmuel says a pasuk in Bamidbar, v'hi lo nitfasa, which is talking about a woman has an adulterous affair with another man. So it says that if she wasn't forced, so then the pasuk says that she's like an Eish HaSesh, which she's asur, she's forbidden then. The dig, the inference is, but if she was forced, then she's permitted to her husband because it was an oinus. But the inference of vehi, that she wasn't forced, sounds like, but there is another woman, that even if she wasn't forced, she would be permitted. It's only this woman that wasn't forced that's forbidden. But there's another woman that even if she wasn't forced, would be permitted. What type of a woman is this? That her whole kedushin was one big mistake. Because there was conditions in the prenuptial which were never fulfilled. And since it was never fulfilled, it comes out that all the bias would be as nus and that she was never really married to him, so she was never an Eish HaSesh when she was having another relation with another man. And therefore comes out, Shafila bina Morkav al-Kasefa, even if she's carrying her child on her shoulders, then as we continue on Talmud Beis, Mima Enes Vahilachas La, she can just walk away from the marriage that she had with her husband that she had fathered the child with, and she could walk away, and she could actually even remarry that man because she never was an Eish HaSesh with him. She never did anything wrong. But one thing we see from that opinion is that because the Bia is always going to be based on the Kedushin HaRishonim, and that a person would prefer to have always be his Bila's Nos, and if his Kedushin was not fulfilled, if the Tanai that he had in Kedushin was not fulfilled, that's what the opinion of Rabbi Elazar is coming to exclude from that and say that no. Everyone, Rav and Shmuel, would agree that a person would not want to have his Bia's Nus. So even if he had conditions, if he ultimately goes ahead with it and he consummates relationship, he's going to do it, that it should be a valid Kedushin. And that concludes this discussion in how to interpret the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel of Kitchal tonight, which we started in the beginning of last daf. But Knas HaStam, if it's like a Baya that talks about the same woman, if a person would want to have his Bia's Nus or not, Rav holds that he would not want it. Shmuel holds that he would want it if it would be to fulfill his Tanai. Rabbi says that no one would want that everyone would prefer the Bia to be his Nus, if it's the same woman because he wants his Tanai to be fulfilled. Rather, he said the case of Toma where it was Kidsha al Tanai, then Girsha, then Vikunas Astam. And then the question is, like Rav holds that she is like another woman because it's a new marriage this time. According to Shmuel, it's not, because Kibin Shagila Daito Gila. And according to Rabbi Lazar, actually everyone would hold that you never want to have your bias to be as nus, and rather the whole machlekes, as Taisa explained this Tumah, where kichal tnai v'knas astam v'loy bol. And then the question is, since you were knas astam, are you being meichel on the original, since you didn't say anything when you knas astam just by having the chuppah, and are you being meichel like Rav holds, or are you like Shmuel that holds that you're not being meichel? But again, if you ultimately ended up having Bia, then Rabbi Lazar holds everyone's going to agree that that will be a valid Kedushin, because obviously you don't want to have your Bias to be Bias Nos. Now the Gemara continues on this topic. Turn about when the Braisa. Halcha, if a woman goes after she's engaged, because we're talking about the idea about Kitchal tonight, that she shouldn't have an in the Dharam. So the Braisa says, if let's say she goes after she's engaged, Eitzel Chacham to a sage, because she really wants to get married to this guy. And his whole thing was, I hate Nadarim, and she has Nadarim. So she goes to a sage, Vehitira, and what's called Hataras Nadarim, she goes to a sage and he permits her from the nether. He annuls the vow. So Mukadesha, she's engaged. But if let's say she has a blemish, which he had made a condition, I'm getting married to you, but I don't want you to have anything that's a blemish. And she goes, Eitzel Roife V'Ripirayisa. So when she's engaged, she goes to the doctor and the doctor heals her from her blemishes, then Eina Mukadesha, she's not engaged. So the Gemara wonders, Ma Bein Chacham L'Roife? What's the difference between the sage and the doctor? Both of them are, when they got engaged, had the problem that he had made a condition, either a nether or a blemish. So why, when the Chacham takes care of the problem of the nether, that would work, and however, by the doctor, it wouldn't work? So the Gemara explains, because Chacham Eikeres a Neder Mi'ikari. What the sage does is, he uproots it retroactively. And the reason is because, how does he do Hataras Nedarim? He finds an opening for her to regret the neder that she ever took. And he says, look, if you would have known, you would have found such a great person to marry. Would you have made such a neder? And she goes, no, for sure not. This is the guy I want to marry. So the sage tells her, so since that this is a consequence that you would not, that you didn't realize, and hence that is a tois in your nether, it's like you never made the nether, and therefore it's permitted to you. So essentially, it's like the nether wasn't there when she got engaged, because retroactively there was no nether. Whereas v'reife in the merapel b'kandelaba, but the doctor who heals only heals from here and on. But up until now, she had this blemish. So it comes out that at the time when he made the condition of the kedushin, she had fooled him, and therefore the Kedushin wasn't a valid Kedushin because she had the blemish, and therefore she's not going to be Mukadeshus. Now, however, the Gemara asked about Tanya, but we learned another Braisa that seems to contradict this. The Braisa says, Eitzel Chacham Vehitir, if she goes to a sage who annuls the vow, or Eitzel Reif Veripo Eiso, if she goes to a doctor who heals her blemish, Eina Mukadeshus, both cases she's not Mukadeshus, so we have a contradiction in the Braisas regarding Hataras Nadarim of the Chacham. So Amar Rava, so Rava says, and some have the Girsa Rabba, that Loi Kasha, not a difficulty. Because this case of where we learned Mekudeshes, that is Remeir. That's the first Bryce. Rabba Laza, the second Bryce says that she's not Mekudeshes, going like Rabba Laza, as the Gemara explains. Remeir, the first Bryce, like Remeir, the Amar that he says, Adam writes, a person wants, and as Rashi explains, doesn't mean he wants, means he's not particular. Shetispaza ishta bevesna, it doesn't bother him if his wife is going to have to be embarrassed and disgraced a little bit when she has to go in front of the courts, and that the chacham should be matar her neder. However, the second brisa is going like Rabbi Lazar says, a person doesn't want that his wife should be embarrassed and go in front of the courts. And therefore, although, yes, as we explained in the Gemara, that the Hataras Nadarim is retroactively undoes it, and therefore the Kedushin is valid because she didn't have nether retroactively. But as Rashi explains, since part of not having Kedushin, not having this nether, includes certain things he doesn't want either that part of the nether is that to have to be embarrassed in front of the Bezdin. He doesn't want that, and therefore that also was not his intention when he was Mekadeshar. And therefore, yes, although Hataras Nadarim works retroactively, that's not something that he wants. And since that's not something that he wants, that cannot be used to annul it, to allow it to be a Kedushin. And that's why he holds Eina Mekudeshes even by Hataras Nadarim. So the Gemara says, Mahi, what is this machlikas that you're quoting of Rabbi Lazar and Meir, that you're saying are these two different opinions in these brises, if Hataras Nadarim will work? In other words, is it that a person is makbid, is particular about his wife being embarrassed in front of the peasant, or not? did not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. The Mishnah says, "Hamaitzias ishta mishum neder." If a person divorces his wife because she has a neder, which the Gemara Masechtas Gittin explains two different reasons why this following halacha of the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin that says lo yachzer, that he cannot remarry her. What's the reason for this? So one opinion says is because it's called kilkula, meaning it's going to cause her problems for her next marriage and her children being considered mamzerim. Because if you say that a husband says, you have a neder, I don't want to be married to you, and he divorces her. If you say that he can remarry her, there's a problem. Because if when he divorced her because she has a neder, maybe she's going to go ahead and marry someone else. And let's say regarding the other case that the Gemara is going to quote from the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, where if there's a shame ra about her, something bad rumors about her that she's done something really bad, and therefore he says, you know what, there's really bad stuff about you. I don't want to be married to you, and he divorces her. If he could remarry her, and then it turns out that really the rumors were unfounded, or the neder that she had made was uprooted by a chacham. Now, that could cause major problems for this woman, because the man, her original husband, will say, whoa, if I knew that this was the case, if I knew the rumors were false, if I knew that the neder, there was a way out of the neder, then even if people would have given me 100 mana, I would never have divorced you. Now, that's a problem, because what he's ultimately doing is he's undoing, he's causing a reyus, he's being mevatel the get. He's saying the get wasn't a real get. I didn't want to. I didn't know. It was a toys. Turns out, her marriage with her second husband is not valid, and her children are mamzer. So therefore, we tell him, look, you should just know, someone that divorces his wife because of a shame ra, because of rumors, or because of a neder, cannot remarry her. And therefore, if you really, really like her that much, then don't be so hasty in divorcing her. Now, therefore, if he's going to come now to be makalkal her in the future and say, oh, I didn't know, he's not believed anymore, because a person knows that she's forbidden and that's it, and he didn't bother doing his due diligence in making sure that there's no way out of the neder, or that the rumors weren't true. That's one interpretation there in the Gemara. Another interpretation of the Gemara is that the reason if he's divorcing her is either a neder or rumors that she had illicit relationships with other men, is because we don't want Jewish women to be parutz, to be so openly blatant and involved with arayis and the darm. And therefore, if a man's divorcing her, we're letting the women know that be careful, because if your husband divorced you because of these things, you're never coming back to him. And that'll be a deterrent to women of being involved in arayis and the darm. So those are the two different interpretations in the Gemara Gittin over there. But however, the Mishnah there says, so if he divorces her because of neder, lo yachzer, and mishum shemra lo yachzer, and if he divorces her because of a bad name, he cannot remarry her. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says it depends. He says, kol neder sheyodu boi rabim. He says that any neder that the public knows about, meaning that she had made a neder in front of 10 people, then lo yachzer, then he's not allowed to remarry her. Now, the reason of Rabbi Yehuda is because he is of the second opinion mentioned there in the Gemara, that we don't want women to be parrots in the darm. We don't want them to be, they're not careful about these things, and we want to make a real deterrent. And if she makes a neder in front of many people, so that is a type of neder that there's no hafar, you cannot nullify it, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin. So that's a real piritza. That's something that's really a breach in the being careful of the halachas in the darm. And therefore they penalize her in that type of a case that he cannot remarry her. But if it's not something that the Rabbi knows, in other words, it wasn't done in front of 10 people, and therefore there could be hafaras nadarim, it could be nullified, then yachzer, then he could remarry her, even if he divorced her because of the neder, and we do not penalize her there. Now the Gemara there explains that Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for the first interpretation of the Gemara of being concerned for kilkula, that he might come and say, he's not concerned for that, he's only concerned for the second reason of penalizing the woman, so he only penalizes her when it's done in front of many people. But if it's done in a situation where there is hafar, it's not such a strong, severe neder, so then they didn't penalize her. Rav Meir, the third opinion mentioned there in the Mishnah, he says, depends. Kol neder shetzar chakiras chacham. Any vow that needs the evaluation of the sage, in other words, that the husband cannot be mefer, because it's not things that are regarding intimacy, or it's not a neder of inu nefesh, which afflicts our soul, like eating meat and drinking wine, or wearing beautiful clothing. So if it's only that a sage can do, then lo yachzer, then he cannot remarry her if he divorced her because of such a type of a neder. The reason being is because Rav Meir is concerned for the first reason of kalkula, because that this is a concern for Kukula, because he's going to say at a future time, oh, if I would have known that a sage could permit it, I would never have divorced you. And therefore, and moreover, and this is the point that we're illustrating over here, that Remeya holds that, of course, I would have preferred that you get in, that you have the Bizui in Bezdin, and they would have permitted for you. I didn't know. So therefore, in such a situation, which that could cause future problems, because that will undo his Gerushin, and thus her second marriage was Arayis, and their children Mamzerim, so therefore he cannot remarry her, because we don't want to run into this problem. But V'she'enet Tzar Chakiris Chacham, but something that does not require a Chacham to be matirat, meaning a neder that the husband himself could be made for, like Dvarim Shebeinu Lebeinu or Inu Nefesh, then Yachzer. Then even if he divorced her because of such a neder, he could remarry her, because there's never going to be an area of Kilkul, because he should have been made for it himself. What do you mean? If you would have known that a sage could find a way out of it, you could have been made for it. It's a halacha that a person could do hafaras nadarim, and you didn't do it, so what claim would you be saying? So therefore, there's no concern for Kukula. Therefore, in such a case, he could remarry her. Now, Rabbi Lazar, he says, Echad tzarech ve'echad einet tzarech, whether it's a situation that requires a chacham or doesn't, lo yachzer, he cannot remarry her, which the reason why it's in parentheses is because actually these words are not there in that Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. But anyway, the Gemara explains that Amar Balazar, as the Mishnah there continues, that yes, you cannot remarry her, but the reason being is because lo yastru tzarech, they didn't make, it's actually the opposite in the way from Remeir, says that they did not make forbidden the case of a nedu that requires chakiras chacham, meaning that should not be forbidden actually, actually only because of the case where you don't need a sage. And the reason being is, because Rabbi Lazar holds that a case which requires a chakir of a chacham, there's no concern for kilkel. And the reason is because he cannot stake the claim at a later point in time to say, oh, if I would have known that a sage could annul it, I would never have divorced you, because a man prefers that his wife does not get degraded by having to go to Bezdin. And therefore, he cannot stake such a claim, because he would not have wanted that. So why is it forbidden in the case of something that needs chakir chacham, meaning something that's like not a neder of inu nefesh or dvarim shebeinu lebeinu, is because of the case when he does not need a sage, where there he could deny, and that's what Rabbi Lazar's opinion, not like Remeir, and he could say, oh, I didn't know that I could be made for neder. How do I know? I know that a husband can nullify a wife's vow, and therefore because of that, we decree the case of that you need the sage for the case of when you don't need the sage. That's the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. Now, first the Gemara asks, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that he says that a neder that was made in Rabim, meaning in front of 10 people, has no hafara, you cannot nullify that. So that's a pretty severe neder, which we don't want people living in these confines of neder. We want to keep women away from these things. And such a case, he cannot remarry her, and then we penalize her. So what's the reason of Yehuda that when it's done in public, in front of 10 people, there's no hafara? That's simply like it says the pasuk in Yeshua, as we continue to talk about Ayin Hayim and Aleph, the pasuk says, V'lehikum b'nei Yisrael, that the Jewish people did not smite, did not destroy the Gevinim. The reason is ki nishbu lehem nesiyu eda, because the assembly of the Jewish people had already sworn to them, because they had tricked them, that they're not going to kill them, and therefore that was a shvua that doesn't have hafara. They couldn't annul that, and therefore they had to keep their word, and therefore they didn't kill them. Now, therefore we see that something that's done by a rabbim, there's no hafara. Now, the Gemara asks, b'kama rabbim, how much are many? So Rav Nachman Yitzchok Omer, he says it's shleisha. From the three people that is already considered rabbim, as the saying goes, yamim, when it says days, like we find by Ziva and the Torah, that's shnaim, that's two, and rabbim, many, that means shleisha, that means three. Whereas Rabbi Yitzchok Omer, he says it means asar, 10 people. And the reason being is because, as it says there in that pasuk, ki nishbu lehem nesiyu ha'eda, edik siv, where it says eda, and as we know, the word assembly, as we know by the Meraglim, is a reference to 10 people, and that's why it has to be 10 people. Now the Gemara concludes the discussion that I brought it in for. Remeya says, kol nedesh etzar chakiris chacham lo yach. So he says that if it needs the sage, then he cannot remarry her, but if it doesn't, then he could. Whereas Rabbi Lazar Omer, he says, loy astru tzarech. Actually, no, the only reason why that case is forbidden, that should not be forbidden. It's elam nesha in the tzarech only because of a gzer of the case when he actually does not need. So the Gemara has been my kamefaki. And this is to support what Rabbah had said, that Remeir Sav, Remeir holds, odem reitza shetespaze ishta bevezdin. The person's okay if his wife gets embarrassed by having to go to Bezdin. And therefore, something that needs hataras chacham, he's saying that, oh, if I, meaning something that he could have done himself, he can't say that. He should have just done it. But a chacham, he's saying, if I would have known the sage could do that, I would never have divorced. That could cause kilkula. And that's where Meir says, that's lo yachzer, because we don't want to have such a problem in the future. Whereas Rav Elazar Safar, he says, Eino demreitzer shetespazi ish lebezdin. No, a person does not want his wife to be degraded by having to go to Bezdin. And therefore, Rav Elazar says that actually that case should not be forbidden to be yachzer. It is ultimately, but only because of the case of actually when you don't need the chacham. And the reason why Rav Elazar holds that's a problem is because the husband could say, I didn't know that I could be for neder. And therefore he could cause problems later on. Therefore we tell him lo yachzer. And because of that case, we actually say the case of the chacham will also be lo yachzer. But again, we see like Rabbah had answered to the two brises, when she goes to the chacham and is matirid, yes, it works retroactively. So why does the second brisa say that that's not going to be a valid kedushin? It's because if this is his wife, if this would be kedushin, he doesn't want his wife to go to a chacham to be matar neder. He doesn't want her to be mizbaza. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and that's what holds in the Mekudeshah. But the first price who holds that he does is not bothered by it, so therefore she could go, and if she does go, so then retroactively it's revoked, that it is annulled the vow, and therefore it comes out that at the time of kedushin that he made it tonight, that she shouldn't have a neder, that she actually did not have a neder.